Well, I invite you to take an imaginary journey with me this morning. Let's drive down the hill on Alameda to the bridge over the Rio Grande. Imagine cars parked everywhere and hundreds of people standing on the bridge. It has all the ambiance of the balloon fiesta, but it's not October. It's December 15th, just 9 shopping days from Christmas. And so out of curiosity, you park your car and walk out on the bridge. It's a motley crowd there, gazing down into the muddy waters of the Rio Grande. Nobody will tell you what's going on. To your repeated questions, they simply say, "See for yourself." Soon you find an opening on the railing, and you look down into the river, and you see finally what the hubbub is all about. You're taken aback. It's John the Baptist. He's coming from the outback to the outskirts of town. He's back as he is every Advent. Once again, John has waded ankle deep into the water, and he's preaching that familiar hellfire and brimstone. John doesn't care much to preach in churches with hard floors. John much prefers a soggy bottom. And so he's down there below the Alameda Bridge with a voice as big as all outdoors. And it's unmistakable what he's preaching. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." It's a message that unsettles you and yet tugs at your heart. This is a clarion call that cuts like a laser into a cataract. It's a commotion that stops the traffic on the Alameda Bridge, and you're standing there on the bridge, and you simply cannot turn away. That strangely dressed man down there in the mud is an unrelenting Johnny One Note. "Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn near." Repent. Change your attitudes, your thoughts, your ways, because a new day is dawning and there's a train a-coming. To get on the gospel train, you must change. Get a new heart, a new mind, a new outlook. If you want to get on board, people, get ready. So then you notice a stirring in the crowd on the bridge. Someone shouts down to John, "How do we get ready? How can we change?" And John shouts back, "Come on down, wade in the waters, confess your sins and wash them away. Cleanse yourself of all that's old and tired in your life. Get an attitude adjustment here in the river, and you will be forgiven and you will be freed. And then you'll be ready for that train that's a-coming." Well, someone on the bridge shouts back, "You really want us to come down into the waters?" "That's right," says John. "Come on down right now, whoever you are." And come down they do by the hundreds. They hurry to the end of the bridge and wade into the waters. Some of the young people just jump from the bridge. Thankfully, no one is hurt. And you think to yourself, "Ah, youth, it's wasted on the young." So you begin wondering and you ask yourself, but is this cheap grace? You know your theology. Is that all there is? Just jump into the waters to be baptized and then everything will be just fine? Surely there's more to it than that. Soon you will learn there is much more to it. Right then, there's a rustling in the crowd. People are moving back from the railing on the bridge. They're making way for an entourage, some dressed in robes. It's the religious leadership from town. They have heard about John on the news and they've come out to take a closer look, perhaps a critical look. But to your astonishment, John doesn't even give them a chance. He shouts up at them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance." John turns them away as intruders into his baptismal party. He sees their sense of entitlement and hypocrisy and dismisses them as irrelevant. As you ponder what John means, another group saunters up to the rail. They look quite well-dressed. In fact, they look marvelous. They shout down their question, "Hey, John, what should we do?" And John shouts back, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do the same." They stir with discomfort. Then others make their way to the railing. They are tax collectors and revenue agents. They shout down, "John, what should we do?" And John shouts back, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." Then some soldiers, it looks like a militia unit, muscle their way to the railings. And they shout down, "Hey, John, what about us?" And John shouts back, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be content with your wages." Looks like John expects more than just a splash in the river. Finally, a delegation from the government pushes up to the railing. They too shout down to John, who shouts back, "Stop your injustice. And some of you need to take a good hard look at your sexual ethics. You know who you are. Your behavior is scandalous." One member of the delegation says to another, "The Herods of this world will not be amused. Not at all." And sure enough, they leave in a huff. Could be hard times ahead for John, you know. Now, we cannot be sure if any of those folks waded down into the water. The religious leaders, the wealthy, the revenue and tax agents, the soldiers, the government officials. All you can see are the hundreds who do want John to wash away their sins, to get them ready for the gospel train that is a-coming. You're standing on the bridge, but you are not sure what to do. You are not easily enticed to wade down into the water. Why? Because you're Presbyterians. And Presbyterians ordinarily prefer to keep their feet dry. And besides, you've channel surfed past religious fanatics all your life on television without the slightest hesitancy. Why would this day be any different for you? So you stand there, your hands holding tightly to the railing of the bridge. Maybe, just maybe, you're holding on for dear life. The old life you know so well. It's hard to part with, even when it's not so great. Even still, you feel a pull toward the waters. It's an unmistakable draw, this summons to a new life, a new attitude, a new heart. Washed, cleansed, renewed, getting ready for a new day that's a dawning. Then John plays his trump card. Someone on the bridge asks him, "But are you the Christ?" He insists he is not the Christ, because the Christ will be mightier than he. So mighty that John feels unworthy to even untie the thongs of his sandals. John is sure the coming one will separate the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad. While John's baptism is just with water, the coming one will baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. John proclaims the good news of the coming Christ, who is riding in on that gospel train. Now, the summon seems so very deeply personal to you, as though John were somehow singling you out. He wants you to step forward, to come down to the waters, to get ready for that Christ who is on his way, that Christ that's riding that gospel train straight into your heart. Well, I'm standing on the bridge, positioned between my yesterday and my tomorrow, my old life and my new life. And I hear John's summons for me to wade in the water and feel the mud on my toes. I'm standing on the bridge. What will I do this Advent? What will you do? Repent, for the kingdom of God is drawing near. Thanks be to God, whose grace and mercy sustains us all the days of our life. Amen.